You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Matt Gillum in for Gemma Gaudette. This week is National Poison Prevention Week, which means it's a good time to remind people about the dangers, especially for kids, of toxic substances. Each year, U.S. poison control centers take about 3 million calls, and close to 60% of those involve children under 5 years old. The most common poisons kids are exposed to range from cosmetics to painkillers. Joining us live in studio to talk more about this area is pediatrician Dr. Seth Brenall. And joining us by phone is Gene Hammack with our regional poison call center in Nebraska. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much.
So when it comes to Idaho, what sorts of accidental poisonings are you seeing parents bring their kids in with Dr. Brenall?
So a lot of poisonings in Idaho are similar to poisonings across the rest of the country. So a lot of over-the-counter medications, cosmetics, like you said, diaper creams, even things around the house like cleaners and batteries, carbon monoxide, things like that.
Carbon monoxide, really?
Mm-hmm.
People aren't putting detectors in. I know there's been sort of a push for that in homes recently.
Yeah, I think it wasn't always something that people had in their house. I know when I moved into my new apartment, the landlord did not have carbon monoxide detectors, and I had to ask for those to be installed. You can get them online for as cheap as $10. There's obviously fancier ones, but yeah, carbon monoxide is a major risk factor in the house.
Now, do the things that the doctor lists sound right to you, Gene, or do what parents call poison control about, does that differ from what they physically sort of take their kids into a doctor for?
Those are actually very common calls we do receive. Part of Poison Prevention Week is really raising that awareness. We want to reduce those unintentional poisonings and just promote that our number and our staff are available. But yes, shampoos, diaper creams, lotions, toothpaste, fair number, that's always kind of in the top category for children under six. And cleaning substances, and then various analgesics over the counter, such as acetaminophen, which is in Tylenol, and ibuprofen. Many of those calls we receive in that age group. And the doctor raised a good point on carbon monoxide. That really can be quite problematic in all age groups and is something we really promote. As he mentioned, buy that detector. You can get them at a very good price at most hardware stores. Some fire departments will even put those in for you if you call. It's variable depending on the county, but that certainly can be a very serious poisoning.
Well, since we're talking about Idaho, I'm wondering, either of you, have you heard about radon? Has that been an issue that either of you have been aware of? Because I know my neighbors are getting, they had their house sort of swept for it. They have elevated levels. They have a newborn child, and they're taking preventative measures and spending several thousand dollars to have that problem taken care of.
That's a really good question. I don't know. Gene, do you know about that?
Well, we do get some calls on radon. It's not high in the statistics as far as call volume. We often gear those callers towards the county health departments.
All right. Well, in Idaho, our poison control centers take more than 7,000 calls from parents with children under 5 years old. That is a shockingly high amount. How, Gene, how do you deal with so many calls and so many worried parents?
Well, we do want the residents or citizens of Idaho to know we're always available. The number is toll-free, 1-800-222-1222. The parent or any caller will speak directly to a registered nurse or pharmacist. And we never close, so we're 24/7 every single day of the week, year-round. And we take a very detailed history. We determine how one of the first questions we want to ask is, how is your child doing, or how is the person doing? Because if we don't know how they're doing right up front, we're not really getting a full assessment on that case. So we kind of individualize the care, the treatments. Many follow into a guideline we have that are formatted to geared towards knowing, for instance, acetaminophen is way up on the top of the list. We have a guideline. But Most of our staff, actually all of our staff, take a very detailed history. We make an assessment, and then from that, we can determine what the best recommendation is. Is it to stay at home, where we can offer fluids, depending on what was ingested or the exposure? Could be an eye, could be the skin, could be the lung, with chemicals. So there, we always want to determine what really happened. And then giving that best recommendation, again, is often determined by those history components we receive. There are situations in pediatric population where we do have to refer in to a physician's office, to the emergency room. So we make that determination, and we then can call the facility and offer our treatment recommendations.
We're speaking with Jean Hammack. She's with our regional poison call center in Nebraska, and also pediatrician Dr. Seth Brunall. So we all know that cleaning products are you know, bad and generally toxic and quite astringent and poisonous. But things like cosmetics, I'm not sure that I was even aware that they are toxic in to some sense. How can they be harmful to kids?
So pretty much anything that a kid can put in their mouth, there is a possibility that they will. Particularly children over the age of 6 months and under the age of 5. Just very curious, especially children in infancy, after they start to be a little bit mobile, they go through what we call the oral fixation stage. So they explore the world with their mouth. So cosmetics, cleaning supplies, anything can go in there. They're not always made of substances that are intended to be ingested. And so as such, there's definitely a risk of it causing harm.
Jean, anything to add on to that?
Yes, that is so true. They're found in nearly every home, any of the cosmetic products. Well, and even like, say, foundation that you put on your face, it may not be highly toxic in a small amount. But again, we want to really get that good history on what happened, what the product is, the exact name of the product. And as Dr. mentioned, kids, little ones, that they're exploring their environment. They see it sitting out. They see maybe mom putting on mascara or various other cosmetic type products and think, well, I can get a hold of that too. So a lot of it is prevention and locking things up.
Well, that leads to the next question. I mean,
sure.
How should we be storing potentially toxic products? Where is sort of that balance between convenience for the adult and safety for the child?
Well, I would say, like, for cosmetic products, keeping that out of sight and just keeping it up high. For really toxic components that may be in the garage, such as antifreeze, gasoline's more of a problem if it gets in the lung, but antifreeze, many people don't realize, depending if it's radiator antifreeze, that's highly toxic to the kidney. Whereas the type in windshield washer solutions is often methanol containing, and that can cause permanent blindness. A highly, highly toxic substance. So now as we're getting more into the spring months and cleaning out garages, any of those types of products or chemicals within the home, we very much advocate locking those up, keeping it. Kind of the adage is keep out of sight, locked up tight.
Now, out of the numerous patients you see, Dr. Brunall, and the thousands of calls you get, Jean, it's a sad question, but how many of these incidents do end in death? Do a lot of children die from poisonings, or do most get sick and recover?
It's fairly rare, given the number of children that have toxic congestions. 85% of the phone calls that go into the poison center for children under the age of 6 the child will remain at home and not even go into the ER or a clinic. So it is a small amount, but you probably will have a hard time meeting any pediatricians who haven't seen a child be very seriously injured or die from an unintentional toxic ingestion. It's not something we see a lot of, but it's something that we're all very concerned about.
And the point of this week is to raise awareness about this.
Absolutely, yeah. And just to provide education and tips about poison prevention and what to do if you're concerned that you or someone that you love has had a poisonous ingestion.
So, Jean, what do you have? What do you have to add to this? I mean, has this campaign proven successful? Is the awareness being raised that you've sought?
Yes, it really is. And I think the vast majority of pediatric patients are managed often at home. If they are in an emergency room setting, we follow till the outcome is known. And I think through the years, yes, there's just that awareness that there are things that we can do to prevent these things. We, again, locking things up. We can teach children as they get older only take medication with the permission and guidance from a parent. One of the other things just to mention briefly would be those little disc batteries that are found in remote control, key fobs, watches, even in greeting cards. Those can be problematic in little ones because if they're sitting out and they're very little, they can be swallowed. If they get into the throat area, they can lodge there and leak a corrosive material. So even something very small like that, keep it out of sight or keep it locked up. But yes, the awareness and just letting everyone know our 800 number is available.
Give us that number one more time, Jean.
Yes, it is 1-800-222-1222. We always have a medical backup. So we have a physician who's trained in toxicology to help with any of our cases as well.
All right. I'd like to thank our guests, pediatrician Dr. Seth Brunall and Jean Hammock with our regional poison call center in Nebraska. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.